everyone. My name is Diane Liang. I'll be the host for today's webinar. I'd like to welcome everyone to the first session of BCIRPU's 2012 web conference series. While we wait for people to log in, we'd like to go over the chat feature if you're logged in online. And if you look on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a chat bubble. And if you click on the bubble, you'll be able to type messages into the chat box. And let's just have everyone try that. You can type your name and your organization, which city you're from, and how many people on your site into the chat box and send it to the Q&A group. Let's try that. So for people online, can you try doing that? And type in your organization, your name, and people at your site to the Q&A group. This is how you will ask questions if you're asking online. So I see York Region Public Health. Welcome. Cranbrook Safety Community Center. Welcome. Great, that's good. So for today, Dr. Dobbins will present for the first part of the session, then we will open up for Q&A and discussions after the presentation. Hi, Kyle, I see you there. Hello. So for people that are logged in online, feel free to type in your questions into the chat box anytime during the presentation, and then I'll ask the questions on your behalf during the Q&A. For people that called in, we will open up the line after the presentation for questions. Today, I'm delighted to have Dr. Maureen Dobbins from McMaster University to present on facilitating evidence-informed injury prevention strategies in Canada. Dr. Maureen Dobbins is the Scientific Director of Health Evidence and an Associate Professor in the School of Nursing at McMaster University. Her research is focused on understanding knowledge translation and exchange among public health decision makers in Canada. Studies have included identification of barriers and facilitator to research utilization, understanding the information need of public health decision maker at the local, provincial, and federal level, evaluating the use of systematic reviews in provincial policies, exploring where research evidence fits in the decision-making process, evaluating the impact of knowledge transfer strategies, and exploring knowledge brokering in public health units in Ontario. We're now ready for the presentation. For people who have called in, please press star 6 now to mute your lines. So thank you, Dr. Dobbins.
Thank you, Diane. It's my pleasure to be there, to be here today. And I guess it is morning for those of you on the West Coast. It's afternoon here, and actually, we have a bit of a snowstorm going on, so finally have a little bit of snow and it looks white out there, which is new for us. We have had mostly green weather for most of our winter thus far. Anyway, it's our pleasure entirely to have the opportunity to talk to you today about health evidence and specifically to identify the literature reviews that exist in health evidence that are related to evaluating injury prevention strategies. I just want to show you a little bit about our team, and with me today is Heather Husson, who is the manager of health evidence and really the key person that is responsible for all of the work that we're going to show you today, as well Kara DeCorey, administrative director, runs our whole program here, which is a combination of health evidence as a service as well as all of the research that we do. Lori Greco is a knowledge broker who works one-on-one with health departments across the country to develop knowledge, skill, and capacity to use research evidence in practice. And then Diva Trillis, Robin Trainer, and Lindsay McRae also work on various projects that result in maintaining health evidence and also evaluating what we do. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about what health evidence is in case this is a resource that you are not familiar with. And at the crux of health evidence as an organization is this searchable online registry of quality rated review literature that evaluates the effectiveness of public health, and this is to support evidence-informed decision-making. In public health, really, when we developed it, was our primary target audience, but we're learning more and more of many other practitioners, healthcare professionals, other professionals that aren't working directly in public health, but for whom this evidence is applicable to their work. In addition, our research over the last decade has demonstrated that just having access to quality appraised, synthesized research evidence is important. It's not the only thing that's required to ensure this evidence gets taken up into practice. And so we also offer a suite of other services to work with individuals and organizations to develop the knowledge, skills, culture, capacity, infrastructure to be able to routinely look for the evidence and figure out then what does it mean for us and how should we use it, if at all. So we do assessments to determine where organizations see themselves with respect to the knowledge, skill, and capacity and infrastructure. We provide development and education, so those can be one-day workshops to multi-day workshops, as well as customized support, which generally involves interaction one-on-one with a knowledge broker who would work over a designated time to really work through the whole process of evidence-informed decision-making. We currently have 2,400 reviews in health evidence in 22 topic areas, and while it's not mandatory to be a registered user of health evidence, we do ask users that come onto the site to register. That just allows us to know who's accessing health evidence and allows us to be able to customize our newsletters as we add new content to health evidence to customize it specifically to users' interests. And so we have 54 registered users, many of those, the great majority of those being from Canada. So why did we go about creating healthevidence.ca, this registry? So we've interacted with the public health community in Canada for many, many years and really wanted to create a resource that was informed by what they felt would be needed and what would be useful to them. And what we've learned over time is that looking for systematic reviews, evaluating the effectiveness of public health interventions is really like looking for a needle in a haystack. The large databases, for example, Medline, that have millions of titles in them, it's very difficult to find public health effectiveness reviews. And so, number one, health evidence saves time in that there's a very short time period upon which reviews have been published that health evidence wouldn't have. That time frame is about 4 months, but outside of that four-month time period, we do our best to find all of that review-level evidence that bypasses your need to then be searching databases like Medline, CINAHL, any other relevant databases. We're doing that for you and putting all of those titles in one place. What we've also done as well is for the public health community, they can be assured that everything they are going to see in health evidence is actually related to public health, defined as a very very broadly in terms of what public health services are in Canada, but everything is going to be relevant to how we deliver practice in Canada as well. Other countries are also realizing that it's relevant for them as well. We've tried to be very transparent about how we go from identifying reviews to deciding whether or not they're relevant, to assessing the methodological quality, to then assigning specific keywords. And so on the site, you can actually look for yourself and walk through that entire process with you, all of the tools, forms, everything that we use to make all of those decisions are there for you to see. And last but not least, very importantly, we've tried to make health evidence as easy to use as possible, and we'll be showing you some of those ways in which we've tried to make it easy to use today. So a little bit about, you know, how does a review make it into health evidence? And these are the criterion that need to have a yes answer in order for a review to be included. So first off, is it a review article? So and how we define that is that it's a compilation of more than one primary study to answer a question. And we have asked is that at least one sentence be included in the article that tells us how they identified the studies that they were going to include in the review. So we don't actually at that point evaluate the quality of the search that was done for the primary studies, but they have to at least told us that they did something to find them. We want to know that it's relevant to public health or health promotion practice. It needs to be evaluating the effectiveness of an intervention program or a policy. They have to provide outcome data, so there actually has to be the evidence of what the findings were from the individual studies. And then, as I said already for number one, they have to have told us a little bit about the search strategy. So two people independently assess each review when it's identified, and if everyone agrees that all of those questions are a yes, then the review would be included in health evidence. The next thing that we do is to assess the methodological quality of how that review was done. So we don't screen reviews out of the database based on quality, but what we have learned over time is that public health decision makers would really like to be told by a credible source whether or not this is a well-done review, and that's what we're attempting to do here. So again, two independent reviewers, two of the staff at Health Evidence, would look at the review and assess it on 10 criterion. So they start with, is it a focused question, which means do we know clearly who the population intervention strategy and outcomes are targeted towards? Did they identify appropriate inclusion and exclusion criterion? So have they told us which studies will make it in and which studies don't make it in? Just very similar to the relevance criterion I just showed you, we want to know that the review authors have identified those. We assess how well they've done a search. So in a systematic review, it's very important that we feel confident that all of the important studies that answer that question have in fact been found. So we would assess the quality of their search. We want to know how far back they've gone in their search. So have they gone back an adequate number of years? Then we want to know whether or not the review authors have done a good job of assessing the quality of the primary studies, because we want to be using the best available evidence upon which to base or to inform our answers. So looking at the quality, the methodological quality of the primary studies is very important, and we've created a template for if it's quantitative studies, what do they need to be looking for, and if they're qualitative studies that are being reviewed, what are important methodological criteria. So that's just part of what our critical appraisal tool looks like. And then what you would get on the site is if you've done a search and pulled up a particular review you're interested in, you can click to see how we've actually scored that review, and we give it an overall rating out of 10, with a 10 out of 10 being the best in terms of the strongest methodological rigor that the review could have. What you're seeing now is our list of 22 major topic areas that we scan and look for evidence to populate health evidence with, and you can see here that injury prevention safety is its own separate major topic area that has been identified and something we've searched on for health evidence since our launch, since we developed the site almost 10 years ago. So now I just want to, where I'm taking you to now is to actually walk you through our understanding of how we would do some searches and to give you some different ideas about how one would go about searching health evidence, and in this case particularly around some of the questions you've fed into us for today's webinar about important topics, important questions around injury prevention. And keeping in mind that the more you've articulated what your question is in terms of who the population is, what the intervention is you want to know about, what you're comparing it to or a control group, and which outcomes you really want to know about. The more you've identified that and then use that as you go through your search on health evidence or any other databases, the more satisfactory results you will get from that search. So you would click on the search button, which we have circled there at the top, in order to now move you into doing searching on health evidence. And just to show you a little bit, there's two very different ways that you can search health evidence. And at this point, what we're trying to do is to provide options that are helpful to different users. And what we know from user statistics from health evidence is that about 50% of our users like putting in their own text words and combining them in the ways they would like to do that. And our other 50% of users actually want to use the keywords that we've already identified. So here you're seeing we've put in the word drowning into the free text search box. Now, the other way to do it here is you are seeing you're seeing a picture of the various ways in which you can use our own keywording tool. So you can search on the focus of the review, which are those 22 main topics. You can search on a type of review. So if you just wanted to see what meta-analyses were in the database for your particular topic question, you can do that versus a narrative review or a systematic review. You can search on a certain age population or various characteristics related to the population. You can search on an intervention location, or you can also search for a specific intervention strategy. And you also have the ability to combine all of these in different ways to focus your search more. So when we actually just click, if we were to just click on focus of review being injury prevention and safety, we would identify 325 reviews in health evidence that in some way in that review address something related to the effectiveness of injury prevention safety intervention. So we asked leading up to today to hear what your interests would be. We'd like to make this as useful for you as possible. And the things that you told us that you were interested in learning about are interventions to prevent falls in both children as well as older adults. There was an interest around road safety. There was interests around alcohol and substance misuse, impaired driving, poisoning, and drowning. And what you're seeing here is we've gone in and done some preliminary searches. And have found, for example, under impaired driving, when we use the keyword injury prevention, there are 12 reviews. Under poisoning, there are 7. And then under drowning, there are 3. And I guess the one thing to just keep in mind here is, because I'm thinking that many of you likely know this literature, injury prevention, extremely well and might be saying, how come there are only 3 under drowning? And I guess coming back to thinking about this database as it's currently been set up has really been focused on identifying reviews that evaluate interventions within the scope of public health practice. So it might be that there are other interventions out there that actually we haven't quite identified as being within the scope of public health practice, and that could be why they're not here. Certainly, if there are some that you are aware of today that you don't find on health evidence, please let us know. Heather would be very happy to hear about those, and then we can look into those and see whether or not it was something that we've missed somehow, or we even, more importantly, need to expand how we're actually thinking about how these terms are defined.
Okay, so we're going to go live to the website just to show you run some of these searches. So the first one we were looking at was falls in children. So if you look on our, we're going to use the keyword tool, and on our search page, as Maureen had mentioned, we have the injury prevention safety keyword. And if you click on it, it expands and it opens all of these sub keywords, and we actually have falls as a keyword. And then we're going to combine it with an age group. So over to the right in the category population characteristics, under age groups, this is how we've defined our age groups. So the actual interest expressed was 0 to 14. We have from 0 up until 12, and we've split after age 13 into adolescence. So for this search, we're going to focus more on the under 12 and under. And then to submit your search, you just can either scroll to the bottom or the top and hit search. So as you can see for this search, when we combined a population with the focus of review, we got a pretty narrow result set. We have 5 results. And this is just a look at what our results page looks like. You get a recap of your search at the top, and then underneath you have a link to print your search, or you can go back to your search. And if you link through here, your search history is preserved, so you can either modify it or add to it and resubmit it. And each of these columns for article, authors, date, and rating are sortable. So you just click on it and it sorts. So if you're looking for something specific or want to sort by most recent, our default sorting is by rating. So we recommend that you look for the most relevant, strongest level of evidence first to answer your question. Do you have anything to say about these results?
Just so that you can see here, not sure how big this is looking for all of you on your screens, but we can see here the first one is preventing unintentional injuries among under 15s in the home, a report, systematic review of effectiveness and cost effectiveness. And the new, so what you will see there, when you see the word new, that would indicate that has been added recently in our last update.
Yep.
And so you know that's something that we've just recently found and been added. It's also useful in terms of if you were to come back and run this search in 6 months, then you could focus on just looking for the new one there.
Do you want to open one up?
And sure. We open one up here. And just to describe what you saw there, there was that first title. It gave you the author, the year it was published, and that under rating, I believe that one had a 9. So that means that on our methodological quality assessment, this review scored a 9 out of 10, and so would be considered to be a very strong review. Now we click into, actually, we want to take a little closer look at what this particular review is about. And the first thing you'll see is the title. You can email this page to a friend. You can go back to the previous page, or you could choose to print this page. You can see the next line there is, again, the quality rating. If you would now like to go in and see our actual quality rating, how we filled it in to find out what the one criterion is that it didn't get a yes for, you can click on the link there. And then we provide you with the citation for the actual review. And you can see that there, who the authors are and who the publisher is. And then what is available here is the abstract, which is the published version of that abstract that is freely accessible.
And then, not for this particular review. I'll take a look at another result. So some of them that have an open access link, we post the open access link as well.
So here we are. We're just showing you a second one. So again, if we just go through this a little bit closely, underneath we have the related links. So if this article has been published elsewhere, underneath the abstract is where you would go, and you can click on that.
And also, we've also included here, find out if you have free access to this article, and this link will take you to PubMed. And depending on your institutional subscriptions, because we are at McMaster right now, you can see that we could access this through Elsevier. But depending on what you have access to, it would show up here if it's a direct connection, or you can browse through in the bottom and see these are where it's available. So if you are aware of what subscriptions you have access to, you'd be able to access it that way.
One of the things that we have learned over time is sometimes there are challenges in not everyone knows when they actually have access, what their organization purchases. And so that's also something very important. One, if you're in a position in your organization where you actually do know and look after those subscriptions, there's some probably ongoing communication to help people understand what they have access to, as well as knowing if they have to log in. So, for example, if I was doing this webinar from home, I would needed to have gone into McMaster's library system and actually logged into the library system first in order that then when I go into PubMed and search and find something, or on our site here, then it would take me right through to the full text. Okay, so we might leave that example now and move on to another search.
Sure. So the other interest regarding falls was in a different population, older adults, 65 plus. So we can leave our falls keyword checked under focus of review, and we can just modify our search and change our population to seniors, and then scroll down to the bottom and resubmit our search. So you can see for seniors we have a lot more evidence available compared to the under 12s. And so when you get a result set that's this big, you can screen it and see what's relevant to you, or you could return to your search and refine it so that you'll get a smaller result set. So we can do that. We'll go back and add in a setting. So let's say for this example we could look to the community and we could add in an intervention strategy as well. So for this we could add in behavior modification. And another way that you can also limit your search when there's quite a bit of results is that you can filter your results by article rating, which is up here under the free text search box. And if you filter for only strong or moderate, you'll get a smaller result set. So this gives us 20 when we filter for strong and moderate results with that setting of community and the intervention strategy of behavior modification.
And so just quickly here, you can see that we have a number of actually very well done reviews. The first looks like 6, 7, 8 there are all strong reviews. Some of them exercise for improving balance. Jumping down to the third one, a meta-analysis of fear of falling treatment programs for the elderly, rethinking individual and community fall prevention strategies and meta-regression. So again, just giving you a little bit of a flavor of the type of content that we have in health evidence around this issue.
Okay, so we'll go back and we're going to do another couple demo searches and then we'll open it up for questions. So if you have been doing a bunch of searches you can, and your search history is preserved, you can click on Clear Search to refresh the page. And so we're going to move on to doing a search about road safety. So if you are interested generally in reviews on road safety, we could click injury prevention, and then we could narrow our setting to our intervention location to highways. And I'll just scroll down and submit the search. So this produces 20 results. And this icon here on the right-hand side for this OWIN review about non-legislative interventions for the promotion of cycle helmet wearing by children indicates that there's an associated summary statement written for this review. Did you want to talk about summaries now, or
Sure, we can do that. Sure. So one of the things that we're also trying to achieve with health evidence is also to summarize the evidence from reviews into smaller bite size, more easily accessible information. So this is a Cochrane review. It's likely a fairly long review, as many Cochrane reviews are, because of the level of detail that needs to be in there. And we recognize that actually taking the time to read this document that could be 75 plus pages long might be difficult. And so we are in the process of identifying topic areas, priority topic areas, and then from there we write a short summary that then will be available in both English and French on the site. And really the focus of those summaries is to provide a very brief description of what the study is about, what are the overall findings, and what are the implications for policy and practice. And so I'll get Heather to just take us to one of those now.
This one in particular is in the queue to be updated because recently the Cochrane review was updated and we have put it back in the queue to add the new evidence to this summary statement.
Okay. And so that's important to know as well, though you would likely be aware that when you do a Cochrane review, you commit to updating that every 2 to 3 years. And so we try to stay on top of that as well, given we have Cochrane reviews. We search Cochrane and include those in health evidence that when a new one is released, how that impacts on changing the summary statement. So as you can see here, and actually this is an older version of our summary statement, so they're actually even much more condensed than this now, and we are thinking more user-friendly and would love to hear your feedback on that. But again, this is just giving you a review of what the summary is about. It's a very quick thing, which we've actually removed from our new ones, which explains the quality of the review. Now we just give you the rating. We talk about why is this issue important in Canada. We try to use the most up-to-date statistics that are available for Canada that identify really the incidence, prevalence, how big of a problem is this in Canada. And then as you can see here where we identify what the actual numbers evidence is in the review as well as coinciding implications for policy and practice. Our goal at this point in revamping the template for the summaries is to really keep these summaries to less than two pages and only under extenuating circumstances where we have a very large review that's looking at multiple interventions and multiple outcomes. Might it be expanded to, three pages, four pages, but by and large, the new template has them all at about two pages. How about if you just go to the link on the top?
Okay, so we'll go back and we'll do our last search that we had planned for the demo, and then we can open it to questions. So again, I will just clear the search. And our last search, we're going to look for evidence on alcohol and substance misuse that was identified as an interest by at least one of the participants today. And so to get this, we're going to click injury prevention. Again, that's the keyword. And then we're going to do a combo search, and we're going to also use our free text box and put in alcohol or drug or substance. And using the asterisk after drug will capture results that have both the terms drug and drugs, and it just expands and includes more potentially relevant results. So as you can see, this produced 45 results, which is a pretty big result set. And scrolling down and looking at them, a lot of the results are focused on road safety and driver interventions. So depending on what you are actually looking for, you could either further narrow your search to just get the results from this set that focus on driving, or to exclude the results from this set that focus on driving. So we can go back and I'll show you how you could do that. So I'm not sure how familiar everybody is also with using brackets and Boolean.
Maybe just comment on it.
So my initial search of alcohol or drug or substance, when you bracket, the search is searching for all of the terms inside the bracket, and using the operators or means that any results that contain any of these terms would be retrieved, versus if you use the terms and, it would be retrieving only the results that use both or all of the terms that you've combined with and. So for this example, if we wanted to exclude the results that include driver safety or road safety interventions, we would use not, and then we'd make another bracketed search so that it would be excluding everything within these brackets, and we would put in drive, because this would catch, using the asterisk here, would capture driver, driving, any of those terms. So we'll just submit that and see how much it limits. So this reduces the result set by about a third and excludes everything that's road-based and focuses more on the more broad injury prevention, alcohol and substance misuse and injury prevention. So is there anything you want to say about this?
No, that's good, Heather.
So should we open it up to questions, and we can do a search of anybody that's interested?
Okay, yes, let's do that. So thank you very much, Dr. Dobbins and Heather. We'll now open up the questions to you. So if you're on the line, please press #6 to unmute, and you can just jump in. And if you are logged in online, you can type in your questions into the chat box, and we will ask it on your behalf.
And we just put up our questions slide, so if you have any questions after this, you can always contact us through our website, healthevidence.ca, through the Contact Us link on our site, and we respond to emails typically within 24 hours to 48 hours, depending on how extensive your request is or for info and whether we need to call in our knowledge broker to help answer your question. But if you have any trouble searching the registry or finding what you're looking for, we can help get you started on your search. So I don't see anybody typing in any questions.
Hi there. Are there any plans to incorporate sport and rec injuries?
So that's a very good question. Heather, off the top of your mind, would there be anything in there that would be related to sports injuries?
We can look. I think there are sports injury. I believe I've seen them with helmets and reviews about helmet safety.
Right. But I think is your issue, injuries that children sustain through other forms of sports, and what would be strategies to prevent them?
Right.
So we'll take a quick look right now and see what's there.
I'm just going to combine the word sport with our injury keyword to see what we get. So
wrist guards on wrist and arm injuries among snowboarders, interventions for preventing ankle ligament injuries, systematic review into the efficacy of static stretching as part of a warm-up for the prevention of exercise-related injury. So I guess your question is a very good one, and part of the challenge, and we're always open to hearing different discussions about this, is right now we're really keeping it focused on what is within the scope of public health practice, and which then sometimes might limit what we put in there if public health in Canada currently isn't focusing as much on the prevention of injuries in relation to children's sport. However, We are always interested in partnering with new agencies, and in fact, that would be the way to think about how do we increase some of that evidence if it's out there by partnering with other organizations for whom this would be a mandate that's a little bit outside of public health.
Great, thank you.
And certainly, just to follow up with that, if you are aware of certain reviews that you think really would fit, as well as other areas that seem to be missing, please contact us so that we can engage in a dialogue.
Great, thank you. And we have a comment from Cranbrook Safety Community. They're interested in drowning at home versus outside in age 0 to 14 years.
Okay. So we don't have a lot in our registry on drowning. I think it was only 3 articles. So I think we'll just do a general search for drowning and see what the results are to start. So we have drowning as a keyword, under injury prevention, under our main keyword injury prevention. And so we'll just check that.
And so we have 3 here, and the first thing that's really important to see here is that they're actually all fairly dated. So the most recent one is 2004, another one in 2001, and another in 1998. The 2004 is of rates of 7, which is of moderate quality. An interesting title here, Interventions for Preventing Injuries in Problem Drinkers, which is likely not quite on topic, I would think, from the question that's been raised, but the one above it, pool fencing for preventing drowning in children.
Outdoor.
And then what works in preventing unintentional injuries in children and young adolescents, an updated systematic review, while now getting to be a little bit old, looks like that might be a good bet in terms of thinking of what's inside. So if you're aware of other ones that are out there, that would be good to let us know about. And it is interesting at this point that these are quite dated, and I'm not sure if that's something that public health itself has moved away from, or in fact there just hasn't been reviews done because some that have been out there have demonstrated the need and there hasn't been an interest in re-looking at the literature. But happy to hear your thoughts.
Just going back to, I see all the dates on the for the literature. How often is the literature updated? Is it on an ongoing basis or is it after an interval?
So we are constantly in the process of searching for and identifying new reviews and adding them to health evidence. What we have been doing for the last several years is quarterly we post all of the new reviews and make those accessible and send out a newsletter letting everyone know what new reviews have been added to health evidence. So many times that's anywhere from about 75 reviews to 120, 130 new reviews that are identified every quarter. Heather, do you want to add to that at all?
Well, just if you are a registered user, if you sign up as a registered user to our site, and in your profile you can check off your interests, and injury prevention is one, then every time we update the registry, which has been quarterly but will be shifting to more monthly, you will get an email with links to the new reviews that are only relevant to your profile. So if it was injury prevention, you'd receive just the newest evidence in your field.
And so as Heather indicated, we're actually in the process, we're always in the process of tweaking health evidence to try to make this a better resource. We are now doing a major overhaul of the site. So the next time, well, hopefully not the next time, but in the next few months, you will see a very different look for health evidence. It'll still have the same content. It's just going to be even easier to use. And we are moving towards updating, adding new reviews, and letting people know about those on a monthly basis. So anything that we found. part of the issue is that it takes a fair amount of time and resources to go from the identification of a relevant review to the official relevance assessment, to the quality assessment, to the assigning of keywords, and to posting that up on the site, which is why we've kind of held that off to do, not to do it quarterly, but to let people know about what we found on a quarterly basis. But recognizing now that decision makers really need to have quicker access to the reviews as soon as they're published, and so that's why we're now going to be moving to a monthly distribution of that. So stay tuned as we continue to improve.
Yeah, and just to add, as far as the currency of the evidence, we're screening approximately 15,000 results every quarter, which is 60,000 a year, and then we pull out whatever is relevant and do the quality appraisal and put it on the site. So we're all constantly working on that.
Hi, Mariana Brissoni from the BC Injury Research and Prevention Unit. Thanks for this talk. It's been really interesting to see your resource. Just wondering, I saw, for example, on this that you have up now, there is one that's a report, but I'm just wondering what efforts you take to identify gray literature on this topic, on these topics.
Great. Yes, thank you very much. That's a really wonderful question and something I overlooked in terms of thinking about talking about. Right now, Health Evidence focuses its efforts on identifying the published literature. So literature that would be published in databases such as Medline, CINAHL, multiple databases that we look at, as well as looking at work coming out of the CDC Preventative Guide. So there are some organizations around the world, WHO, where we might be looking there to see what kinds of reports are coming out. By and large, the majority, probably more than 95% of what you'll see in Health Evidence is coming from that very, quite narrowly defined as what is published literature. I very much agree and support the inclusion of gray literature, and that my definition of that would be literature that isn't published in, for example, peer-reviewed journals. Our challenge to date has been finding adequate resources in order to be able to do that in a systematic way. So one of the things that we didn't show you at the beginning of this is our search strategy to be able to say confidently that we feel we are finding just about everything that exists in the published domain is a very comprehensive search strategy. We go to, Heather's just put it up there, these are all of the databases that we search on a regular basis. We've spent many years refining and testing the actual keyword terms that are being used to find literature in those databases, and they're all uniquely modified to each database. We hand search, you can see here, 46 additional journals where we go through the table of contents of all of the publications coming out of each of those journals each year, as well as we, for every review included in Health Evidence, that like all of the relevant reviews, we search the bibliographies of those reviews to see if there's anything else that we've missed there in the review literature. This is a very comprehensive search strategy to find the published literature, and my sense is, and it's my opinion, that we would need to develop as comprehensive and sequential, logical search strategy for the gray literature if we are going to embark down that road. And to date, I haven't been able to secure the kinds of resources that would be required to do that. As you could imagine, if we were to do this for all of public health, this would be a really significant endeavor with significant resources. So it doesn't include the gray literature. I think it's something that we would really like to be able to aspire to in the future. And I guess I finish that off by saying if you are interested in speaking to us in terms of thinking about how we can acquire those resources, we'd be really happy to have those discussions.
And also, if you have any reports that you're aware of, then you can pass them on to us, and we would add them to the queue to assess their relevance and their quality. Yep, as they become known.
Another question from the BCRPU. Is that possible to conduct a search by population, specific population, like Aboriginal injuries among Aboriginal population?
Yes, so we'll go back there now to the search page. Thank you. That's a great question.
Our connection's just a little slow.
So we're just experiencing right now sometimes what is a bit of a challenge of trying to do things live. We really wanted to do it live, but sometimes the internet can fail us a little bit when there's lots of people at the university accessing.
And snowstorms. Okay, so if you wanted to keep it focused on injury prevention and then look for, if you're specifically interested in Aboriginal populations, we have a First Nations keyword. So we'll submit that. There's one.
And so again, what you know, we can only populate health evidence with what exists in the literature at that review level. And so what this is basically telling us, and I'm sure that you would likely, you know, be aware, is, you know, how much literature is there really out there at the review level that addresses this. So I'm actually happy that there's one. And again, one of the things that we've also done with health evidence, and we feel it's a responsibility of ours to keep a handle on, is to identify where the gaps are. And so we published a paper earlier this year where we actually explored all of the topic areas in health evidence and identified areas for which there are many, many reviews. And for example, in chronic diseases, there's a fair amount. And we also identified where the gaps are, where reviews are in need of being done. And we've published that, and we're trying, we are feeding that back to health funders in Canada. This is just a link to the actual publication that we have done based on that gap analysis. So, Heather, you just take us back to the page, the results page there. So what we just see here, I don't know if this was really getting at what your question is, but suicide prevention in American Indian and Alaskan Native communities, a critical review of programs, is the one that we have. And you can see, again, now starting to be a bit dated. It's more than 10 years old. And so let me just talk a little bit about our rating here. So if a rating of 5, this is a 5 out of a possible 10 points. And as I said, we don't screen, we don't remove anything from health evidence once we've deemed it relevant. The things to be concerned about here is we know that the more rigorous the methodology of doing a systematic review, the more confidence we can put in the results that we see. Just like in primary studies, the better, the more rigorous the study is done, the more confident we can feel that they've actually tapped into whatever the truth is for that population. So some things to keep in mind here is when you were to read this review, you know, one would need to be thinking about, well, what was it that this review didn't do well? And you'd be able to access that and see how we rated it. But you would also need to have, you know, just be a little bit cautious about what the results are saying, because it could be that the results are biased in some way because of the methods of the review itself. So it's just a little bit of a caution in terms of how much faith you would put in the results discussed in this paper.
And always, if you get a really small result set, one way that you can see if there's more is you can remove keywords from your search. So if you're specifically interested in the population, you could look and just see what we have, anything that is available in that population, and see if any of those are relevant or transferable to what you're looking for.
And so that's great. Thank you, Heather. That's really good to point out. And so, again, while the result got a little bit better, it's still not huge in terms of They're in, of the 2,400 reviews in health evidence, only 9 of them have been identified as a major focus of the review, specifically looking at various Aboriginal populations in Canada. Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you. I don't see any questions in the chat box. If you have any questions around the phone, please just jump in. And if you have any questions and you're logged in online, you can enter your question into the chat box. I don't see any questions. So thank you again to Dr. Dobbins and to Heather and to everyone who joined us today. Please take a moment to fill in the evaluation form and send it back to us. Our next webinar will take place on Thursday, March 15th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Dr. Neil Arison will speak about countermeasures to improve pedestrian safety in Canada, a report produced by a working group of the Canadian Council of Motor Transport Administrators. We have a comment. Thank you. It was interesting. And again, thank you to our presenters and everyone.
Thank you very much for having us. It was a pleasure.
Great. Thank you so much. We hope to see you again in March. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Wasn't what I was expecting, or maybe I guess I did see the health evidence thing that they had sent earlier, but I didn't submit any request.
Oh, I didn't see that piece, but yeah, I read what it was going to be about, and I guess I had to read it a couple times. Initially, I didn't think it was going to be like that, but then when I read it today,
mm-hmm.
Talk about this database, so yeah, it sounds like an interesting database.
Yeah.
Take a look, especially in terms of child health and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see what they have on that.
Yeah.
Really show us today, but.
And, like, we had that person come, a few weeks ago or months ago. I'm trying to think where she was from. And it was a lot about doing searches. But I found this either more helpful or it just reinforced some of the things she had talked about when you're doing searches or whatever.
Was that lady from the library?
Yeah,
or the public health library?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I found that I find this a lot clearer than what I
yeah. And it's great that they're using, well, it's good and bad, I guess, they're using.
Research and statistic kind of things that I'm not very good at navigating online searches, so this was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like it'll be very user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you go on instead of having to go through all the dimensions and all and
mm-hmm.
have said that you can go and they have categories. That's very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of have a look and
mm-hmm.
see. It would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I guess I should hang up here.